to find in the morning papers is hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on the TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio. And you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers.
AM, FM, shortwave, talk radio.
The truth is on talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statmiller. We're live today with you from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network on this Thursday, third day of August, 2006. And today's program, author of Cracking the Code, Peter Eric Hendrickson, we're going to find out a little bit about the Internal Revenue Service, ladies and gentlemen. And I will let him tell you about himself as much as he wants to divulge, and I'll give him as much time as necessary. A lot of people don't like to talk about themselves, but this is a very intelligent man. I've been sitting around watching his one-hour presentation on the web, and particularly fascinating was, well, just a group of people eating dinner with him, just sitting around talking about tax and how it's constructed, or how should we frame this, the constructive fraud that has been put forth on the American people, emptying their pockets of trillions and trillions of dollars. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for a government that has an open-ended idea of the checkbook never ends, we see ourselves in massive debt. I see repeated over and over and over, even by people in our genre of broadcasting, referring to the $8.5 to $9 trillion debt. Folks, it is much, 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 much more than that, and much more serious. Now, it would be one thing if I would be happy, I would be tickled if our national debt was only $9 trillion. In Washington, D.C. nowadays, they mention billions as they used to mention hundreds or thousands. Or, gosh, we really used to get nervous when they'd mention millions of dollars for a project or whatever the case may be, whatever the government expenditure was. Well, they've been bilking the American people out of trillions and trillions of dollars. And yet they've seemed to manage to get us yet more trillions of dollars in the hole. And most Americans still believe that the IRS, that is a governmental agency set up to tax you to run the government. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the case. Every cent of the taxes they collect through the IRS and its subsequent tax collectors, companies and corporations out there, and the individual, that doesn't even really service the debt on the money that they have borrowed. Well, from the big boys on the planet, the International Monetary Fund, and its member little satellite businesses spread out throughout the entire planet. So we'll be talking with Mr. Hendrickson today about this issue on taxation. And remember, it's starting to get into the psyche now. I mentioned that a lot of people, when you mention Federal Reserve, oh, yeah, that's the money part of the government. Well, it's not federal, and there ain't no reserve, and I don't think there ever was. But you mention the IRS to people, and they'll glaze over. Their eyes will start to roll in their heads. Remember, like the little Cracker Jack toy you get? You had to roll the BBs into the little thing. Folks, people are scared to death of the IRS. They do not understand what the IRS is. But more importantly, they don't know that they can defeat them. I mean, this is part of the fear cycle that we've been under for many, many years, a type of slavery in this country. So we'll be talking with Mr. Hendrickson right after this break, and we will take calls, but give us some time to get into the meat of the subject here before you call into the program, because you're only going to be on hold. I'll let you know when the phone lines are open. We'll take the break here. This is the National Intel Report, and we shall be back in a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
For the 64 years of its existence, the U.S. Internal Revenue Code has been ridiculed, feared, and despised by virtually everyone. And why not? As presented by the Internal Revenue Service, the code appears illogical, inconsistent, and incomprehensible. As presented, the code defies practically the entire Bill of Rights, requiring citizens to testify against themselves, allowing searches and seizures without warrants, levying fines and penalties without trials, and imposing a tax on the basic right to earn a living. As presented, the Internal Revenue Code would appear to turn everything we know, we thought we had learned in grade school, English, and in civics, right on its head. Is it possible that we all just misunderstood those simple lessons? Maybe. But researcher, analyst, and scholar Peter E. Hendrickson believes that after cracking the code, you'll agree that what has been misunderstood is the 3,413,780-word monstrosity itself, and how and to whom it applies. Mr. Hendrickson delves deep into the history, statutes, and case law behind the code to reveal its startling and liberating secrets, and unless you live in a cave, you need to know what he's uncovered. And we have with us this afternoon Mr. Hendrickson. Good afternoon, Peter. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, John. I'm doing fine. I hope you're doing the same, and it's a great pleasure to be with you.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're talking about something that's near and dear to everybody's heart and in everybody's pocketbook and has been for a long, long time.
Certainly it's on everyone's mind. I don't know about the near and dear to their hearts part.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you made a point in your introduction, John, about the fear factor associated with the Internal Revenue Code. I want to touch on that a little bit. It's a very important point. That fear that we all have of the tax law and the tax agencies and the tax process, et cetera, is very carefully cultivated by the tax agencies, and there's a very good reason for that. It is because people don't look closely at things they're afraid of. In fact, they look away from them. They move away from them. They deal with them as quickly and as perfunctorily as possible, and then move on, and don't look back. And that's just exactly the way the beneficiaries of ignorance about the tax law want them to act.
Well,
they do not want people to look at the tax law.
Yeah, well, it's reinforced every year. I just said this the other day on air, Peter, that you know, around every April 15th, you'll get the perfunctory. It's almost like they're reading a script from the IRS themselves. You'll have your local news in whatever city in the United States doing their yearly bit, talking about taxes. They're now even including, you're working 4 months out of the year, but don't worry, now the rest of the money you make throughout the year is now yours. And they'll always throw in the factor that, well, if you don't pay your federal income taxes, you can go to jail, they can take your bank account. It's the fear process that is reinforced every year. Now, you would think, now, just on the surface, if you were to ask somebody, well, what's news all about? Well, it's when they do investigations and they uncover stories and they tell you all the relevant facts. So to educate, that's what news is supposed to be about. But if that were true, Peter, then they would most assuredly have to say in the same breath after they read their script from the IRS that there are people that are looking into the IRS that are finding some very troublesome information about them. You would think that would happen in a perfect world, but we're not dealing with a perfect world here inside the United States.
No, absolutely not. As you say, they're reading from a script. They know which side of the bread gets buttered and who buy, and they want to maintain access. They want to maintain their own relatively privileged position. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to upset the status quo. Plus, looking into matters like this is complicated and demanding, challenging. It takes work. It actually involves effort. And if you can fill your newspaper or your radio report or your TV news spots with effortlessly acquired, effortlessly reported, controversy-free material, as opposed to going out and actually learning something, educating yourself, doing some hard studying, doing some hard work. Which one is the average well-paid reporter going to pick? They go the easy route.
Well, and you're familiar with the cases that have been recently adjudicated, if we can call it that, in federal court systems. Irwin Schiff, they basically gave this man a death sentence.
It does appear that way.
Yeah. Dixon Cannon of Aeroplastics out of Fort Worth, Texas. I actually was in attendance in that trial for 3 days. Mm-hmm. I was a character witness, and I was only allowed on the stand for 30 seconds. I don't know anybody on planet Earth who can relay anything about any other individual or any individual in 30 seconds or less. It's nigh impossible.
Right.
But I have seen repeatedly, that walking into a court system, it's the state challenging the individual, and you're not allowed to go in and mount a credible and believable defense to let the jury decide whether you're at fault in error or that you've committed a crime or anything else. These are all rigged.
Yeah, there's certainly ignorance of the law is taken a dramatic advantage of when it exists and when it's potentially in play. Courts absolutely do not routinely offer their own knowledge or understanding or expertise to the benefit of a defendant that is a chosen token victim, token fall guy for something that the state wants to defend. There are a lot of cards are stacked against people in situations like that. There's no doubt about it.
Now, I want to go into, we haven't had a chance to let people know a little bit about yourself. So if you would, to our listeners out there, tell them a little bit about Peter Hendrickson.
Well, there isn't all that much to tell. I'm a regular guy, 50 years old, about to turn 51 this month, as a matter of fact. I've been a businessman all my adult life. I conceived of an interest in the tax issue in particular in 1976, so partly perhaps spurred on by the bicentennial celebration that was going on at the time, and as a consequence having the issues of constitutionality of various laws and American institutions kind of very much, you know, on the front page, so to speak. Although I've been a libertarian all my life, and that kind of set the stage for that sort of inquiry, I suppose. But in 1976, I began a particular study of this subject, and that's gone on for the rest of since then. It erupted in a kind of a more intense way in the year 2000 when, after many years of filing tax returns with a routine disclaimer included on the jurat, the perjury statement, to the effect that while I was standing by the numbers within the context offered, I was not endorsing the meaning given to the term income in that context. Suddenly, the Internal Revenue Service decided to not accept the year 2000 return my wife and I had filed with that disclaimer in place, and demanded that we execute a replacement perjury statement with that disclaimer gone. Now, since we were not prepared to just surrender to this and make that endorsement of their definition of the term income, and they were not prepared to back down either, It stimulated a very intense period of study, which resulted in my discovering just what this was all about. My discovering, in fact, why it was so important to the service that we agreed with their definition of income and said so and signed a form under penalty of perjury saying that we did. Yeah. If the income tax is what the tax agencies would like Americans to believe, which is to say it's a tax on earnings or a tax on money or a tax on receipts, what does it matter whether we agree with them or not? What does it matter whether we sign the form agreeing with that proposition or not? If the tax really is that, it doesn't matter whether we think so or not. It doesn't matter whether we say so, whether we agree, whether we sign something to the effect that characterizing our earnings as income is indeed true, complete, and correct. But, in fact, it is critically important to the system that we endorse that concept because our earnings actually are not income, as that term is defined in the law.
It is a tax on your labor.
It would be a tax on our labor if it were a tax on earnings, receipts, mm-hmm. money, what have you. Mm-hmm. It actually isn't. It's a tax on the exercise of a federal prerogative, which is measured by the dollars which result from that exercise. That's all it is. And the law says so in hundreds of different ways. But if you or I declare that our earnings constitute a measurement of our exercise of a federal prerogative, which is what it means when we sign that form saying that X dollars received constituted income, and we say that's true, complete, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, then we can be taxed on that. If we do not, and in fact, that wasn't the nature of our receipts, that's the end of the game. Which is why readers of my book who learn this essential fact and learn the procedures that Congress has put in place for people to ensure that the truth actually comes out on these forms are getting all their money back, everything that's been withheld from them, including Social Security and Medicare, by the way.
I'm looking at your website right now, losthorizons.com. And you have posted right on your front page here, readers of Cracking the Code, the fascinating truth about the taxation of America, have already retained or taken back well over $1,080,000, and some change, well over $1 million.
That's correct. And that's actually only the total of the checks that have been sent to me to post. The amount reported to me is probably about triple that at this point.
All right. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with Peter Hendrickson, the book Cracking the Code, And we're talking about the Infernal Revenue Service. Folks, Dancing with the Devil in the Pale Moonlight. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. My guest today, Peter Hendrickson, author of Cracking the Code. And what I would like to do here, Peter, I'm looking at your book right now. By the way, the friend of yours, Doug, he's actually seated in the next room listening to this broadcast right now. He's the reason why you're on the program today.
Yeah, that would be Doug Bell.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, how you doing?
It is noted that, by the language of the Act, it is not salaries, wages, or compensation for personal services that are to be included in gross income. That which is included in gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, or compensation for personal services. This is a lower court ruling, Lucas versus Earl. But has the United States Supreme Court ever ruled on the legality of the IRS and their tax collection measures?
Oh, absolutely. It's ruled on them on those subjects many, many times. And in every case, it has made a ruling that's consistent with the way the law was originally laid out in 1862, which is that the tax is a tax on the exercise of the benefit of a federal privilege. That includes working for the federal government. That includes making investments and benefiting from investments in federal activities and federal corporations, such as national railroads, national banks, some of the munitions industries, federal land dealings, many, many federal activities. In fact, the federal government is an enormous portion of the overall American economy, as you're well aware. And so the opportunities for profitable involvement with the federal government are myriad. And all those things are taxed. All those gains that are federally connected in that fashion constitute income.
And most people think, Peter, that the Internal Revenue actually started in 1916 through the 16th Amendment. But as you just described, apparently back in 1862, wasn't that about the time that was the war of aggression of the North on the South?
The war between the states, indeed.
There you go.
And, yes, this was Lincoln's tax, and it was indeed the beginning of the income tax. Current body of law, of which the Internal Revenue Code is representative, it continues to include an enormous amount of statutory material from 1862 on up, although technically most of it came to be covered by the revised statutes of 1873, and that's really the back point to which one needs to refer. But the enactments prior to the 16th Amendment are reflected in about 30% of the current Internal Revenue Code. By no means was the 16th Amendment, the passage of the 16th Amendment, a starting point. In fact, the 16th Amendment was really just a minor loophole closing measure in the existing tax structure.
And this is so important for them to do this that it used to be that you had to actually sign up. And they issued you a Social Security number. You had to have that, according to them, if you wanted to go to work. Employers had to check your Social Security numbers and then turn that over to the government so they could set about taking out their fair share of your money to redistribute throughout the United States for whatever purposes they deemed fit. There's a problem, though. This is not a legal tax, is it? Is it an apportion tax? What's the basis of this?
Well, the tax is, in fact, a tax on the exercise of the benefit of a federal privilege. It is just that there is a comprehensive mechanism in place by which people who are not involved in the federal government, who are not receiving federally connected receipts, are made to appear in the eyes of the law, in the eyes of the bureaucracy, as though they are receiving those the benefit of the exercise of federal privilege. For instance, payers in this country are encouraged, intimidated, browbeaten, or fooled into creating information returns in connection with every payment they make to another American, or actually every payment they make to anybody in the world, for that matter. And those information returns constitute testimonial documents saying, in the fine print, that the payment was made in the course of the exercise of a federal privilege. It was, for instance, a W-2 is one of the most common information return formats. In the fine print of a W-42, and it isn't on the form itself, but it's in the law that authorizes and is behind the use of a W-2, it says that it isn't payments that are to be listed. It is wages as defined in Section 3401A of Title 26, and wages as defined in Section 3121A of Title 26 that are to be reported on that form. Only those two things are to be reported on that form. And when we go to that section of law and look at, or that section of code, and look at the law that that code represents, and look at what those definitions are, we find that they only involve remuneration paid to federal workers. That's all. But if somebody makes one of those forms, creates one of those forms, and puts your name on it, and says that your payments constituted the payment of wages as defined at 3401A or 3121A, you're going to be considered to have been a federal worker. Nobody's going to look closely unless you tell them. No one's going to look closely to find out whether you actually are a member of the civil service, whether you really do work for the federal government. They're going to take that affidavit's word for it and treat you as a taxable, as having engaged in a taxable activity.
And then once you sign that affidavit and you put your signature on it, you're self-confessing or self-reporting to the United States government. Don't lie or obfuscate, then things really get hairy. We'll be right back with Mr. Hendrickson right after this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
KU Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellites is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped at our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
This happens to be just a little confusing to folks out there about the IRS, because they have been told from birth, which, by the way, folks, speaking of birth, and by the way, congratulations on your upcoming birthday, but don't call it a birthday, Peter. Call it a Remembrance Day, because you're only birthed once.
Okay. Quite well taken.
Yeah. They're so intent on getting you into that system for the federal benefits, as they call them. And as I read the original Constitution, I don't see where the government should be in retirement planning. So-so security, as I like to call it. I don't see where it delegates them to be in the retirement business, medical business, anything else, Medicare, Medicaid. I think what people are really becoming aware of is supposedly this benefit from the government. Now, we derive a certain benefit from the federal government as far as protection goes, protection of the several states, the borders against invasion, this, that, and the other. But the original Constitution, the way this thing was laid out, it wasn't to have the federal government be the nanny to everybody and everything. And this seems to be, to the layperson out there, on the surface, to be nothing but a a collection system and a redistribution of wealth, whether you like it or not, so much so that they don't even wait for you to sign up for those wonderful benefits anymore. They're now assigning you a number at birth.
Well, pretty nearly. Yeah, the opportunity to refrain from those assignments still exists, of course, but it is made difficult to perceive, and certainly the system likes to operate as though it has uncompromised authority to do the things that it does. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't have that authority. As you observe, the Constitution does not provide that authority. Our federal government, like our state governments, were created by the people to perform certain functions just for certain purposes. They have very explicitly spelled out powers, and the law continues to reflect that circumscription, those limitations. The problem is that people have become very ignorant of the law. People have become ignorant of legal principles, and the law, the body of law overall, has become so enormously large that it is a specialized activity to gain knowledge of it.
Well, they've also been conditioned into this, I'll call it the 500-pound gorilla syndrome, that if necessary shows up on your doorstep well armed.
Sure, no question about that, and the system exploits the fear factor again. Absolutely does, but it gets away with those things because, in large part, of that legal ignorance. For instance, you know, the federal government proposes that it has the authority to regulate firearm ownership. But we've all read the Second Amendment. We know that that's not the case. And yet we see prosecutions happen. We see the government passing these laws and so forth, and you have to wonder, you know, what's going on. Well, the fact is, built into the law, and this is reflected in Supreme Court case law on the subject and in the law itself, are presumptive components that, unless you are aware that they are in play, you will not know to rebut. You will not know to address. Occasionally, someone comes along that does know. And we saw a very significant Supreme Court case in 1995, United States versus Lopez, in which the federal government had passed this Gun-Free School Zone Act, and it was an act of gun control authority, you know, quote-unquote, more or less like most others. But Lopez, who had been caught and convicted in a lower court for possessing a gun within 1,000 feet of a school in Texas,
right,
knew better and rebutted the presumptions. The presumption in that case was that the gun he had been, that he had it in interstate commerce, that he was possessing it in interstate commerce. And that's the presumption that it underlies federal gun laws. He said no.
Yeah.
I'm not possessing it in interstate commerce, pure and simple. I know to rebut that presumption.
And
the court said, hey, have a nice day, sir. Sorry to have troubled you.
And we have a case here that, well, we know that the public, and I like to call it the public fool system, because they're not educating these children at all, and especially about the Constitution and its intent and the real history of our country. We're only 230 years old. We've seemed to lost our effect on young people because it is not being taught to them. I mean, that's the most important thing that children can learn, is exactly what their country is and what the principles are that were behind that Constitution.
Sure.
So that you can exercise those throughout your life, so you have an understanding of what your role is versus the federal government's role, and we all cohabitate here together, and we all get along, and everything's rosy, and we enjoy a good, fruitful, plentiful life, and then we check out, and then we go to heaven. You know, that seemed to be our role, but increasingly we have this federal encroachment and enforcement measures. Now, I wanted to ask you, because I had read the income tax forms, and I don't know if they've taken it out yet, but it was thanking you on page one on the inside cover. Thank you for taking part in the world's most effective voluntary system. Now, I'm a little confused about this, because I'm not banking on the federal government. I'm at the age of 62 or whatever it is now, 65. I don't know what they're doing with it, but I'm not going to be applying for Social Security benefits. I'm not going to be applying for Medicare or Medicaid.
Right.
I care nothing about that system they set up. It is a fraud unto itself. Now, how can they still get away with saying it's a voluntary system when it seems that your compliance is mandatory?
Well, because your compliance actually isn't mandatory. It's a word game. When one engages in the exercise of a federal privilege, one does so voluntarily. There's no question about it. If you choose to go to work for the federal government, you've volunteered to do that. Now, once you have done that, once you've volunteered to do that, then there are certain compulsory obligations that arise. Among them is paying a tax on what you get paid for that activity.
Because you've signed up for their benefits.
Because you signed up voluntarily for their system, to be part of their system. So, yes, it is voluntarily and it is also compulsory, but the one comes before the other. And so they're able to say that otherwise ridiculous-sounding voluntary compliance. What an absurd oxymoron if it isn't explained.
And most people would think, okay, if I volunteer for something, well, I was voluntary in my service, and if I volunteered, well, and I wasn't compelled to do so, can I unvolunteer?
Sure. Well, and as a matter of fact, you can. There isn't anything that you can sign or agree to or choose to be involved in that is irrevocable. We don't have slavery in this country, and that would be slavery. You cannot, even of your own free will, you cannot alienate your rights from yourself. And so happily, we don't have to worry about anyone indenturing themselves into anything. However, we can get all tangled up in misunderstanding and be lifelong victims of ignorance if we allow that to happen.
I was asked to bring this into clarification. I was asked to ask you about your analogies here, and this is surrounding the lemonade stand example.
Sure. Well, the fact is we do not have kings in this country. We don't have a king. The federal government is not a king. It's not a tyrant. It is not a sovereign authority over and above other people. It's an entity just like any other entity. It's a person in the eyes of the law. And like any other person, it has control over its own property, and it can make demands on those who use its property. And that lemonade stand analogy you refer to is this. Just as you are legally in a position to demand a piece of the action if your neighbor chooses to set up a lemonade stand at the end of your driveway and makes money from having done so, you can say, that's fine, you can sit at the end of my driveway, but I'm going to get 20% of everything you take in. You're absolutely within your rights to do that, aren't you?
It's my property? Yes.
Your property, absolutely.
Yes.
Federal government is in exactly the same situation. It can also demand a piece of the action in excise from the use of its own powers or property. And that's what it does. And that's essentially what the income tax is.
Let's go to the telephones here. Kevin in Indiana, you're up first with my guest today, Peter Eric Hendrickson. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, you should put magnificent before his name.
Well, now you keep going on that. I mean, pretty soon we're going to be trying to elect him king. Let's not go there.
Okay, Peter, I just wanted to confirm because in 98 when they came after me after I stopped paying in 93, I used a affidavit stating that I was not a federal employee or elected federal official, which is required in under liens and levies in the Internal Revenue Code book. Section 6331.
Sure, for applying a levy by way of a notice of levy.
Right. And it can only be placed against an elected federal official or a federal employee. And so after I hand-delivered a copy of that affidavit to the county sheriff and sent it to the bank and sent it to the IRS, I had my money back in 3 weeks.
Outstanding.
And then I sent the sheriff, after convincing him that the bank president should be arrested for bank fraud for giving my money away with a signature that could not be read on a document that was missing paragraph A, but they did send paragraph B through I, which is not how to put the screws to you.
Right.
But paragraph A is always missing, and so
what is it? Wait a minute, for clarification, what is exactly in paragraph A?
Paragraph A states who can have a levy or lien placed against them.
Okay.
By way of a notice of levy.
Right, and you must be a federal employer official, and you've worked for them for a week, and they're not going to give you all of your paycheck.
Okay.
Right.
That's how that works.
Levy can be placed against anybody that actually owes the money. There isn't any limitation on the levy power in that sense. quite a levy involves a court order and involves judicial process, and then the individual in question is given an opportunity to contest the action. Notice of levy is a document that has a very limited application, and as Kevin points out in Section 6331A, it lists and identifies the fact that a notice of levy is sufficient to accomplish a levy only in the case of a federal worker, somebody who has essentially agreed to special protocols by virtue of having voluntarily chosen to be in an employment relationship with the federal government.
Right. There you go. You're magnificent. You seem to be, you're a reincarnation of William Cooper and Wayne Benson all rolled into one.
You're very kind, Kevin.
Wayne Benson's still alive.
Yes. Well, and out of jail.
Yes, and out of jail.
And don't forget that part.
Author of the book set, The Law That Never Was, I believe.
No, that's a different Benson.
That's Bill Benson.
Bill Benson.
I have that copy, yep. Both of those copies, yes. Wayne Benson is entirely different. He was in Arizona, supposedly at a precinct that they claimed that the Supreme Court justice was, I forgot his name, he just died.
William Rehnquist.
That's right, Rehnquist. And back in the 70s, Rehnquist was said to have kept people from voting legally, and Wayne Benson happened to be there checking people in, and so he had to go in front of Senate committees and verify, and that's why Rehnquist was allowed on the bench early, and then the same allegations were brought forth, and Wayne Benson again went before the Senate committee, and he became Supreme Court Justice. And so that's who Wayne Benson is.
All right. Anything else, Kevin?
No, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. In the movie, I don't know if you've seen this movie yet, Peter, America from Freedom to Fascism.
Seen it twice.
You've seen it twice. Good.
Yeah. My son is in it, as a matter of fact.
Is he really?
My 10-year-old. I participated in the march delivering Bob Shultz's petition to the district court in Washington in 2004, and I brought my son along, who was 8 at the time, and some of the footage includes him marching along with a very nice Don't Tread on Me T-shirt prominently displayed.
Well, in the movie, and if my memory serves, in this voluntary tax program that they've set up for everybody's benefit, there seemed to be a little problem with this, because apparently there's been about 60 million Americans that have unvolunteered themselves from paying taxes to the IRS.
Yeah, many, many people.
And the numbers are growing. And I wanted to ask you, because you have a good sense of these people and their trickery and their games and their deceptions, what do you see coming out of this? I mean, if we have 60 million people right now in this country, they're not paying the IRS their just due or giving the federal government their slice of your pie, where do you see this going? Because obviously, you know, Bob Shultz did the whole gamut here, set up the press club. We had Rosati from the IRS scheduled for that. This was going to be a question and answer. And, of course, that didn't happen. Where do you see the IRS going if more and more people, because they can't possibly send out enforcement teams to compel 60 million people. They don't have the personnel, the time, or the money.
There's no question about that. The questions about the legitimacy of the Internal Revenue system are rife in this country, and a little bit less so is an actual understanding of how this all works. As you say, many millions of people have already just thrown their hands up and kind of dropped out of the system. That isn't the proper approach to take, but it's an indication of the fact that dissatisfaction is enormous. Simultaneously, my website alone takes in about 1.5 million hits a month. A lot of people are learning not only that there are questions or issues about the system, but what to actually do about it. And so the thing is crumbling. This ignorance that has been exploited for many decades now is crumbling. And what is going to be done about it is, first of all, there's going to be some darkness before the light. There's going to be a lot of vigorous, you know, increased enforcement. There's going to be a lot of
which we see happening right now.
We see happening right now. There is going to be a vigorous push for an alternative that appears to be a reform, but that serves the same interests that misunderstanding of the Internal Revenue System.
Can I say
such as the such as the fair tax.
Or the national sales tax.
Exactly. A disastrous solution, but one that would serve the interest of the people who have benefited from ignorance about the income tax. The thing that those people want, the thing that they have gotten from the income tax is they have gotten an open spigot of money into the Treasury with no political accountability. That's the only reason they love the income tax. Once that tax is in place, they don't have to ask for the money any longer. They just have to figure out how to spend it. And that's what happens now. And that's exactly what a sales tax would be. It would, once the rate was put in place, they would just sit back and watch the money pile up, and they would go out and figure out how to spend it. Now, the founders didn't intend for the system to be that way. The founders intended for there to be intense political accountability for every expenditure that the federal government engaged in. And that's why they put in place the apportionment rule, limiting direct taxes to an apportionment mechanism, and otherwise only permitting excises, which is a piece of the action involving the federal government's own property and powers.
All right, I want to get back to that apportionment question here in a second, because some people are fuzzy about what the Constitution says in apportionment. So we will do that along with your phone calls at 800-313-9443.
Digestive problems can be miserable. Get rid of acid reflux, irritable bowel syndrome, and excessive bloating naturally. Gastrinex is the wild and natural herbal support for all digestive problems. It's a powerful blend of herbs, spices, and enzymes to stop digestive problems quickly. For any digestive need, take Gastrinex. Call 800-243-5242 today.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on the shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big-money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
We are back. 800-313-9443 is the call-in number to this program. What, you people don't have any questions about taxation out there? It's been a hot-button issue for as long as I can remember. 800-313-9443. Now, let's get back to this issue of apportionment. So what did the founders intend with this, and what is the current status of this apportionment?
Apportionment's a fairly simple concept, really. It's important to remember that the federal government is the agent of the states. It is not technically anything else. The apportionment mechanism is one by which the federal government, when it wishes to impose a tax on objects amenable to direct taxes, that is, on persons, on property, it does so by calculating the total amount that tax would represent. For instance, if the government should impose a tax on windows of $10 per window, and let's presume that there are 1,000 windows in the whole country, we have a total, therefore, of $10,000 from that tax. That $10,000 is then prorated among the states by their percentage of the population. So if any given state has 10% of the population, it pays 10% or is liable for 10% of that tax. So it would be liable for $1,000. A state that had 15% of the population would be liable for 15% of the tax, and so forth. That's an apportioned tax. And that is the mechanism by which the federal government dealt with extraordinary revenue demands throughout the first 120 years or so of our history. Those extraordinary demands arose typically and perhaps in every single case, and I won't say that I know for sure that it was in every single case, but I believe that it was, after a war, after the War of 1812, after the Revolutionary War, there was an apportioned tax, although it came many years later, in 1798, I believe. So that was the extraordinary revenue mechanism. The other typical revenue mechanism for the federal government was the revenue tariff, which is not a protectionist tariff. It is an across-the-board percentage tax laid on imported articles. It doesn't benefit any particular industry, doesn't benefit any particular company. It is, as I said, across the board. And that was the mechanism by which the federal government financed all of its routine operations, again, during that first 120 years.
Well, if...
Up till the early part of the 20th century, the federal government's budget never exceeded about 4% of GNP. So we're talking about a relatively small amount of money. In fact, one of the 1990 years, I don't recall which one, it was calculated that that year's budget exceeded the total of all federal spending for the first 150 years of our history.
Now,
in constant dollars.
There's a ton of questions yet to come, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of my favorite subjects to delve into because I have, in my lifetime, one of the scariest things that I have ever seen is a group of people that are claiming that this is for the benefit of the country and running it and paying its bills, but yet they will hold you at a point of a gun at times to get their piece of the pie. And don't mess with the IRS because you'll have your wages guaranteed, your bank accounts will be locked up, your house will be sold. It doesn't matter. They're going to get theirs. And this is all over benefits that the government provides. Whether you want those benefits or not, doesn't matter a stitch to them. They say you owe that tax. Second hour with my guest today, Peter Hendrickson, Cracking the Code. Right after this, we'll be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns
People like you and me prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.